The Brijvasis reveal the true identity of Lord Gauranga. And this is very kind of a humorous story on one level, but of course it's very serious also, serious points. But what had happened when Lord Chaitanya was staying in Akuragat and coming regularly to Vrindavan, to Imlitala during the day, to chant mala and meditate on the leelas of the Rasa Leela and all these things, he had one Brahmin with him, one pundit serving him, Balabhadra Bhattacharya. And somehow or other, there was one fisherman coming from Mathura, coming in a night with one of these fishing boats, and a kind of long black boat, and it goes up on one end and up on the other end, a little bit like a gondola, like they have in Italy or something. Goes up like this. Is that a gondola or something? And this kind of boat goes up like this. And on one end he had a lantern. It would come about 11 or 12 o'clock at night, it was pitch black and dark, and that lantern was glowing. And you may not, one point I didn't mention is that the lantern that fishermen use actually has red glass. It's a red glass box with some holes in the top for ventilation, and they put some kerosene or some burning element inside. So that is giving off naturally yellow light or something, but when it passes through the red glass, it becomes red light. Because the fish, they like this red light. Like the little kids have these little laser lights, these little red lights, they shine around all over the place. Some laser or something, laser light. So this red light comes out of the lantern, glowing red. So many Brijvasis, they were going at night, oh, and there's a verse saying, Krishna Prakat, Vrindavan made Krishna Prakat. Krishna is manifested again in Vrindavan. We saw last night, he was dancing on the hoods of Kaliya. We saw the ruby jewels. The ruby jewel on the head of Kali was shining in the dark, and Krishna was going back and forth. Because when the man was fishing at night, he would go to the front of the boat, you know, the bow or whatever it's called, the sprint and bow. He got any stern, and he goes up to the bow of the boat, and he stands there with a net. Then he runs back to the bow, you know, the stern to the backside, and he's moving back and forth to the net. So it looks like, you know, Krishna's dancing from hood to hood, and there's a red light, and we saw Kaliya, and then. And Palabhadra heard this when he was picking some sabjis in the forest or whatever he was doing and mixing with the Brijvasis. They said, oh, you're here in Vrindavan. You've come to Vrindavan with your Chaitanya, Sri Chaitanya. Have you seen? Krishna's there. So Palabhadra, he got all excited. So then he asked Lord Chaitanya, he said, listen, I want to go out and see Krishna dancing on Kaliya, at Kaliya Daha. So Lord Chaitanya gave him a slap. He gave him a good slap to wake him up. And once he was awake, because he was in a dream, obviously, when you're sleeping and you say, oh, tiger, tiger, oh, oh, oh. Then the mother comes in and shakes you. She physically shakes you from your dream and speaks to you. But it's okay. There's no tiger. You're in your bedroom in France. You know, it's okay. So he was in a dream, night, an illusion, in Brahm. So Lord Chaitanya gave him a slap, and then kind of came to his senses and said, listen, this Krishna doesn't come in Kali Yuga like this and that and this and that. So then what happened? He cooled down, Balabhadra cooled down and gave up that idea. And then some learned Brijvasis came and met Lord Chaitanya, and they told him that, oh, Lord Chaitanya, there's so many foolish Brijvasis. They think that. And then Balabhadra was listening, hanging his head down, very embarrassed that he heard the actual fact. So that's what we heard yesterday. And then, so after Lord Chaitanya, what the Brijvasis actually said is, people foolishly think that Krishna is dancing on the Kaliya serpent in the Yamuna, but actually we know that Krishna is right here sitting before us, that you are Krishna, which of course is quite true, but that isn't what Lord Chaitanya wanted to teach at this particular moment with this group of people. So when they said that, then he immediately put his hands in his ears, Vishnu, 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 Vishnu. Because that's what one usually chants the name of his Ishtadev or invokes the name of Bhagavan to counteract any inauspicious or any calamity, some ghost or some, hear some bad sound or bad news or something terrible. Then, oh, Krishna, Krishna, Vishnu, Vishnu. So he did like that. And then he started to explain about, just to set things straight, who is God, and not that anybody that comes along with an afro hairdo and a pile of gold in his hand doesn't become Ram and Krishna. It's not like you just tease up your hair into an afro and then you become God. It's not so easy. But in Kali Yuga, it seems that people will just easily fall for things like this. So Lord Chaitanya wants to explain. He said that Jiva cannot become Krishna at any time. Do not even say such a thing. And then he says, Sanyasi Chitkana Jiva Kiran Khan Sam Sadaishwarya Purna Krishna Haya Suryapam. He says, Mahaprabhu said, a sannyasi in a renounced order is certainly part and parcel, the complete whole. Chitkana Jiva. He's Chitkana. Kana means like ray of sunshine. Small, fragmental. A sannyasi, he's part and parcel, the complete whole. Just as a shining molecular particle of sunshine is part and parcel of the sun itself. Kiran. Kiran Kana Sama. Krishna is like the sun. Sadaishwarya Purna, Krishna. Surya Upam. Krishna is like the sun, full of all opulences, but the living entity is only a fragment of the complete whole. So Lord Chaitanya is trying to present, who am I? I'm a sannyasi. Because Brijbasis 500 years ago, if they see a sannyasi, they know that the etiquette amongst the sannyasis and how to greet them is to say Namo Narayan. And he was Naked Dandi Sannyasi. And because this whole idea of the Jiva Danda, which was introduced later, the idea of Vaishnava Sannyasi was not so much prominent, especially here in Vrindavan. Even now, there's so many Mayavadi ashrams all over Vrindavan because it's so close to Benares and Haridwar that always Mayavadis come through here. Even though they have Melas here sometimes. I remember 20, 30 years ago, there was a Kumbh Mela in Vrindavan, pre-Kumbh Mela. Always about, maybe it was within the last 20 years, it's pre-Kumbh Mela on the banks of the Yamuna down by the Jagannath Mandir, all over that area. And they had all tents set up and everything. I don't know if you remember that. This is pre-Kumbh Mela, before the Kumbh Mela in Allahabad. So it was the same around the same time, January time. And it's all hundreds and hundreds of Mayavadis, as usual, in these Melas, they came. So they were saying that you are, because that's what they said, Krishnavatar, Tamadeki Sarvaloka Nistar, that you have appeared in Vrindavan. You're an incarnation of Krishna. And of course, it's all true. But Lord Chaitanya denied that, said Vishnu Vishnu. How, what am I? I'm just a sannyasi. I'm not Namo Narayan. I'm not Narayan. All sannyasi, we're all Narayan, we're all God. What is this? I'm just tiny. Chitkana Jiva. Jiva Ishvara Tattva Kabo Nahisam. Jwalat Agni Rashi Yaiche Spurilingera Khan. A living entity and the absolute personality of Godhead are never considered equal, just as a fragmental spark can never be considered the original flame. So, a small portion of Prabhupada's purport. Mahaprabhu is specifically mentioning the sannyasi is nothing but a fragmental portion of the Supreme, Chitkana Jeev. He is just a molecular portion of sunshine. And he's never the sun itself. Well, that's interesting. I have to think of myself like that. If I'm a sannyasi, I'm a molecular portion of sunshine. I thought I had a little more to it than that, but Prabhupada has reduced me to being a molecular portion of sunshine. It's not bad. I mean, sunshine is also good. I'm not even that much effulgent, but a molecular portion of sunshine. The living entity is nothing but a fragmental part of the absolute truth. Therefore, at no stage of perfection can a living entity become God. This Mayavadi viewpoint is always condemned by the Vaishnav school. The Vedas clearly state that living entities are subordinate parts and parcels of the Supreme. Ekobhunam yovidadatti kaman. The Supreme Lord Krishna maintains all living entities. Ladinya samvidashlishta Sachirananda Ishvar Swavidya Sambrito Jiva Sanklesha Nikarakara. Mahabhur goes on. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Controller, is always full of transcendental bliss and is accompanied by the potencies Ladini and Samvit. The conditioned soul is always covered by ignorance and embarrassed by the threefold miseries of life. Thus, he is a treasure house of all kinds of tribulations. Very interesting translation. Treasure house of all tribulations. Jiva Sankleish. Adiatmika klesh, adibhautika, we heard these terms, right? Adiatmika klesh, adibhautika klesh. Klesha means afflictions, like in bhakti, the first two characteristics, kleshagni, right? Shubhadan kleshagni, the first two things that happen in sadhana bhakti is that one becomes free from afflictions and difficulties, kleshagni, they become diminished. So it says, sanklesh, jiva sanklesh, and it says, akara, nikara akara. He becomes an akara, akaraha, means a mine, like a gold mine, jewel mine, silver mine. So the jiva is a mine, underground mine full of the threefold miseries. Sanklesh means samyak. Samyak klesha means all the miseries. Complete miseries. So it's nice to know that we all have some wealth. Mahamantra, you don't have to collect money anymore. You've collected enough. You're wealthy now. You have a treasure house of all kinds of tribulations. I do also, so maybe we can trade treasures. I'll trade you some adiatmika kleshas for your adibhautika kleshas. Right now I'm suffering from adibhautika kleshas because the flies are always landing on my nose and things. So some of my treasures I'll trade for your shanti atmosphere over there. So next verse, so this is Mahaprabhu, this is certified by God, he's telling us, he knows best. The conditioned soul, that's us, we're always covered by ignorance, we're embarrassed. What is the word for embarrassed? That's right. Embarrassed by the threefold miseries. Avidya Samvrita. That's Prabhupada's translation. Because if you only knew Bengali and had a very good knowledge of Bengali, so avidya samvrita jiva. It says, swa avidya samvrita. It just says that the jiva is surrounded by ignorance. And then he's surrounded by ignorance, and then he's surrounded by these threefold miseries. That's a basic Bengali. But then Prabhupada, this is why in scriptures, in Vaishnava scriptures, it's so important to consider who is the translator or who is the author. And although we're have been involved with some of this work, we know it fully aware of our lack of qualification to edit or to produce some books that we've done. It was an attempt to bring out something of the shadow of the real thing because we couldn't wait. Our own interest in these certain books that we produced in English with Bhana Maharaj and Subhag and others. But we were well aware all along that to really present these most esoteric and elevated Vaishnava scriptures, one must be on the topmost platform of devotion. Even the translator, what to speak of if you're writing commentary. So I have heard some good news to me, and I knew it would eventually come, but I was too impatient to wait. So the Sartha Darshini, which is all the commentaries on 10th canto, Vishnu Chakravarti calls it Sartha Darshini, including the 10th canto. He did all the 10 cantos. So we can see here, Prabhupada is a realized soul, and he's translating the Bengali into English. And even there's a name for it, I think it's called Anuvad, means where the actual translation is also giving some purport is mixed in the translation. It's not literal. The translations of the verses are expanded translations, which actually embellishes. So if we want to get, what we want to get from the Shastra is not knowledge of Sanskrit. What we want to get from the Shastra is encouragement, satisfaction, and faith. Or bhakti to go forward and to increase. So it's the conditioned soul is always covered by ignorance and embarrassed by the threefold miseries of life. Thus, he is a treasure house of all kinds of tribulations. It's very beautiful. And of course, I'm prejudiced. You have to forgive me. because naturally we have this mamta, and that's great. That's good. The mamta for one's guru. Lord Chaitanya goes on, Je muda kahe jiva ishvara haya sama, saita pashandi haya dande tare yama. A foolish person who says that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the same as a living entity is an atheist, and he becomes subject to punishment by the superintendent of death, Yamaraj. It's very interesting when you read Shastra. If you only take it that it's speaking, that if you take it from contemporary time, that okay, this I'm reading this book, these are tattvas. This is Jiva Tattva and Bhagavan Tattva. And this is philosophy. This is Gaudiya Vedanta, Vaishnava teachings. And Lord Chaitanya is the ideal teacher, ideal bhakta, and Rasaraj Mahabhav, whatever, different level he's functioning now. And I'm learning some points here and increasing my conviction about these points of my identity and the difference between the jiva and God. That's one level. But another level is the time frame and the circumstance, Kaladesha and Patra. So now let's change it all around and say, okay, I'm a Brijvasi, and I'm living 500 years ago, and I have some understanding that this is not Kaliya dancing, Krishna dancing in the Kaliya's hoods, and so I want to go and inform this Bengali sannyasi that's come, because I've heard his servant has been a little bit bewildered by this phenomenon, so I want to come and tell him what is actually going on here. But I also have heard from other Brijvasis, someone is saying that this effulgent Bengali saint that has come, and that actually he's God. And moreover, he's a sannyasi, so we all regard sannyasis when they come to Vrindavan, we all say Narayan. So when they went to meet Lord Chaitanya, they informed him about the facts of Kaliya and only being a fisherman. Then they glorified him, saying, oh, you're Narayan and you're Bhagavan, you're Krishna avatar. And so now you're sitting there, and then Lord Chaitanya, he speaks a few verses. Oh, this is the identity of the living entity, and God is like this, and the living entity is like that. This is the difference, the sunshine and the sun-planet analogy. And then he says, anyone who says, you can imagine, I'm Lord Chaitanya, you're the Brijvasi. Anyone who says that a sannyasi is God, he's a fool. Now, 5 minutes before that, you just said I was God. And I'm saying, hey. So now you see, now that's why we see how this is rasa shastra, because there's, you know, adbhuta rasa and there's the gona rasas and happening at all the time. All these rasas are expressing themselves. Because rasas experience when there's the vibhav. There's some personalities, ashraya and vishaya. There has to be some, to experience rasa, there has to be personalities and different factors. Udipan comes into play then. So Lord Chaitanya is Rasaraj, Rasaraj Mahabhav. So this is an active principle. Whenever he's speaking, whenever he's moving and acting, it's so obvious what kind of rasas are going on in Gambira. It's Mahabhav, and obvious, at least we hear from our guardians what's going on. But at every step of the way, there's different rasas being exchanged. Dasya rasa, there's Shanta rasa, there's all these rasas. He's Rasaraj. Sri Krishna and Mahabhava Sarupini Radha. So now he's moving through this, he's expressing himself through the identity of Rasaraj, Sri Krishna. But in Gambira, is he Rasaraj Sri Krishna? Gambira Leela? No, Mahabhu is, he's expressing Mahabhava Sarupini, Madanaki Monaki Mahabhava, and with Lalita Vishaka, Sarup Damodar and Rai Ramananda. So this is, Because he's fully, at this point, when he's in the Puri Leela, then he's fully in the Radhabhav. But in Mayapur, sometimes he's in the mood of Rasaraj and mood of Krishna. And sometimes in searching, like Radha searching for Krishna, especially after initiation. And then sometimes in his preaching context, he's very much Krishna, with Prakashananda Saraswati. Where's Radhabhav there? This is Rasaraj. This is Krishna. So here, he's taking on this mood of the yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhava. This is the Gaur Narayan aspect of Mahaprabhu, which is another Kali Yugas. He's acting like yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhava dibharta. He wants to establish dharma, right? When there's a dharmasi glani, when there's a break in religion, then he wants to establish it. What is the correct understanding? So he's saying, jay mudha kahe jiva ishvara haya sama seite pashandi haya dande tare yama. But what I'm trying to for myself and all of us is trying to take us into the setting and the personal aspect of the exchanges, because this is all exchanges. This is devotees. These are Brijvasis. They believe in Radha and Krishna, as they do now, and they're learned. They have some discrimination. They're intelligent, And they're meeting with, they have such adhikar and fortune to be alive and having darshan with Krishna. It's amazing. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he's giving them mercy. If you love someone, you give them mercy. This is his karuna. He's expressing his karuna ras here. And then there's this, calling a fool like vibhatsa or whatever, I can't. But he's saying, you're foolish. And mudha. Because they sound like, all these other Brijvasis, they're very stupid. They think that Krishna is dancing on Kali, but we're smart. We know that he's not dancing, it's just some fishermen. So they're thinking, we're smarter than the other Brijvasis. And we've come to inform you, in case you don't know, or in case at least your servant doesn't seem to know. You have to set his head straight, as they say. So then Lord Chaitanya said, yeah, I appreciate that. Thank you for that. Of course, he knew all along, because he's the one, he already slapped his servant the day before. The day before they even came and informed him, he slapped Balabhadra and checked him from going the night before. Next day they came, and then Balabhadra said, you were right, Mahaprabhu. And then rubbing his cheek to remember it. So now he starts, thank you, you told me something very nice. But actually, you're all mudhas. You're all mudha. That's not a small word. Like a Prabhupada is preaching and saying you're all fools, and they say, Prabhupada, the Indians say, Prabhupada, use such harsh language. Prabhupada said, I'm not using, Krishna's using. Avajananti ma mudha. He says in the Gita, Krishna's avajananti ma mudha. They don't know. Anyone who thinks that when I descend in human form, manusha, that I'm a human being, they're a fool. I'm not saying, Krishna's saying you're a fool. So you're a fool. I mean, only Prabhupada could get away with it, though. Because he gave you the sauce, but he dipped the sauce in honey. It was like honey sauce. he would dip the sauce in honey first. So he'd give you the sauce. It was Corella dipped in honey. Now you can imagine that. I mean, what a strange, weird combination. Corella dipped in New Zealand honey. He's from New Zealand, right? And then so Prabhupada would give the sauce to people, but then they felt good about it. Because so much prem bhav he has. And it's very difficult. No one can imitate. So first he says, you're all, you Brijvasis, Dandavat Jai, Brijvasis ki Jai Ho. Dandavat Maharaj. Hey, we're Brijvasis. Hey, I'm a Brahmin, Brijvasi. Donation, Dan Karo. Brijvasi. Okay, it is a very exalted thing, no doubt. I mean, not to make a joke, but... So Lord Chaitanya, yes, you're a Brijvasi. Yes, but you know what I think? It's actually, you're a mudha. And then the next thing he said, and not only that, you're a Pashandi. And Pashandi, as you probably know, it means it's like you're a first-class atheist. As Prabhupada said, first-class mudha. So he's saying you're a mudha. Then he's saying you're a first-class atheist. And then if that's not enough to make these people... Can you imagine? Now, just try to imagine. Now, you're there. Lord Chaitanya says, you're showing your regard. Namo Narayan. Namo Narayan. Maharaj. Swagatam. Very nice to see you, meet you. All these foolish Brijvasis, they think that Krishna's come. We know that Krishna doesn't come in Kali Yuga. He came 5,000 years ago. And then Lord Chaitanya says, yes. Yes, thank you. You're all fools. You're all first-class atheists, and you're all going to get hit on the head by Yamaraj. He says, you're all going to get smashed and banged up by Yamaraj. He says, Dande Tare Yama. Can you imagine? He says, a foolish person says that the jiva, the living entity, is the same as God. He's an atheist, he's a fool, and he's going to get beat up by Yamaraj. He's going to get punished, a danda. Danda means a stick. He's going to get beaten with a rod by a Yamaraj. And so they might think, well, gee, who's he talking about? He's talking to the Brijvasis. So this isn't called diplomatic way of speaking. Like you might say, well, anyone who's wears a white scarf on their head, they must be stupid, So this lady has a white scarf on her head, chunari, so she's, he's saying I'm stupid. I just said anyone. Well, I'm anyone. This is like a diplomatic way of saying it. So Lord Chaitanya, he has all rights to say it also. He's saying you're first-class atheist, you're a fool, and Yamaraj is going to beat you with a danda. Now that's mercy. That's really mercy, because Prabhupada used to say, unless one loves someone, they won't give them mercy like this. So now in the purport, Prabhupada gives five different meanings to the word Pashandi. Nastik, Pashandi. So Nastik means he doesn't believe in Shastras or follow any Niyam, and then Pashandi means atheist, so it's similar. Rather, this is Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, Prabhupada's quoting. There's five different meanings to the word Pashandi. One is, a Pashandi, it refers to one who considers a living entity under the control of Maya to be equal to God. Second is, a Pashandi is one who does not believe in the spirit soul. The superior potency of the Lord, and therefore does not distinguish between matter and spirit. While describing one of the offenses against chanting holy names, specifically the offense Shruti Shastra Nindana, blessing Vedas, Jiva Goswami says that worshippers of impersonalists like Dattatreya are also Pashandis. Concerning the offense of Ahamama Buddhi or Dehatma Buddhi, considering the body to be the self, Jiva Goswami states, those who are overly absorbed in the conception of the body and the bodily necessities are also called Pashandis. Very interesting. Pashandi is one who considers the demigods and the Supreme Lord to be one, and he worships any kind of demigod to be the Supreme Personality. And the fifth one is one who disobeys the orders of the spiritual master is also considered a Pashandi. Prabhupada summarizes, on the whole, the Pashandi is a non-devotee, one who does not accept the Vedic conclusions. I wrote in the margin, right, to summarize the five types of Pashandis. One is that he says the living entity is equal to God. Two is he doesn't believe in the spirit soul. Three is he is absorbed in the body and the needs of the body. Four is he worships demigods and thinks that they're equal to God, or demigods are equal to God, and he worships them, that those are his gods. And five is he disobeys the orders of the spiritual master. That's very... Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati really gives an expanded definition of Pashandi. He's really giving the mercy here. These are quotations around these verses, so that indicates that these are the direct words that spoken by Lord Chaitanya at this particular meeting with these Brijvasis in the year 1510 or so. I think it was around 1510 when he came here for 2 months in Vrindavan. This is chapter 18 of Madhya Lila.